You are listening to Eastside Radio Podcast.
I spent a bit of time up at the Jazz Lab because that's one of the great listening venues for more jazz and improvised music. But there's often heaps of things going on at like Bar 303 or Braddock Green, or there's heaps around this little north nook, which is great. There's a huge community at the moment of like heaps of interesting stuff going on. There was a few gigs on last night actually that were a bit conflicting. So I think often there's a lot of midweek gigs as well, which is nice, but so many things going on. I think there's quite a few venues in Melbourne at the moment, and lots of opportunities to play. So there's heaps of people sort of taking those opportunities, which is really cool. Yeah.
You're young by, you know, normal standards, but you've been around for so long. so I imagine that you don't feel so young anymore on the circuit.
Yeah, I have to keep up. I have to keep up with what's happening.
Yeah, but there must be other young kids coming through. Is there a next generation?
Oh, there's heaps. Definitely, yeah, there's heaps. There's some awesome players coming up. We have on Tuesday we played a gig with the Jazz Lab Orchestra, which is a sort of a big band, and it's designed as a platform for people to come and bring in charts that they write, and we play every month, and it's a big community, and every week, every month, there seems to be a whole new sort of crowd of fill-ins that are younger, you know, like all these you know it's always slightly different, but it's a really strong cohort of people, and it's a real treat to play every month. But it's always interesting to me to see who's coming next. Like, you know, who are these younger people that are filling in now and coming to play? So it's really awesome. There's heaps at the moment. Yeah, and I'm always really inspired by the Sydney crowd because there's you know, sort of a parallel scene. So I feel,
yep,
we're sort of on similar wavelengths at the you know, and I'm always just so inspired every time I sort of like glance over and see what's going on in Sydney. I'm like, what? How are you? You know, the Chloe Kims and the Marcus Wales and the Jacques Emerys and, you know, Hilary Geddes and everybody. Like, I'm very, very inspired by what they're doing. It's incredible. So cool.
Tell us a bit about where your musical journey began.
I started playing. My family, my dad's a musician. My dad plays guitar, and my brother is a musician, Theo. He's a guitarist also. And so we started playing quite young, and we used to spend most holidays or any sort of opportunity at live music. So we'd go to all live music festivals, as many things as we could cram in. So we'd drive up to the Woodford Folk Festival every year. We'd be going to the National Folk Festival in Canberra. We'd go to, and then that sort of extended. Once we started playing, we ended up going to as many camps or like music, you know, community events as possible. And we really sort of, I think my parents maybe, I don't know if they intended it or not, but they definitely brought us up as music people. There wasn't there wasn't any question about what we were interested in doing. We were kind of, you know, thrown in at any opportunity, which was amazing. And so that's how I sort of got to be interested in music, because I was around it all the time. And then I picked up saxophone at high school, and I really loved what the sort of connectivity tools that learning improvisation gave me, and that kind of, I really loved the community of the music program and being able to like connect to people in all different year levels and have a really strong community there. And then I went on to study jazz at the James Morrison Academy, and again, same sort of feeling of, it's just a beautiful community of people learning and teaching each other, and I really just got a lot out of that, and then since then I've been living in Melbourne and just, you know, forging as many connections and community and sort of opportunities as possible, and I think live music is really what holds me up, to be honest. I love the scene in Melbourne, and I love the community of people, and being able to just at any, you know, any day go and hear some really interesting music that you've never heard before. It's pretty special. So yeah, but I think some of the greatest teachers have actually been the people like my peers, like people I went to uni with, the people I was living with and like hearing practice every day, the people that I've been playing in bands with for the last, you know, 10, 15 years. You know, there's sort of those sort of like co-learning, you know, environments where everybody is sort of teaching each other by getting inspired. And I think, but like some particular names at the moment are people like Helen Swoboda and Chloe Kim, of course, and Kiri Anderson, Niren Desica, Uma Zakaria. There's a Sophia Carbonara. There's a whole pool of people that every time I have even a conversation with, let alone play music with, I get so much. I learn so much. It's really. I think that they're, you know, the people that you're actually closest to often end up being your greatest teachers.
Having been introduced to music at such an early age and having seen music in all different kinds of forms, you would have been witness to how much it's changed a lot in the digital age. How are you coping with the added demands?
That's a great question. I think I have a bit of a naive approach or naive optimism where I believe that the power of live music can trump all, but it is a challenging little moment in time. I mean, there's so many things that are going on, and there's so many things that are vying for our attention, and there's so many things that we are focusing on at all times. But I think that what I find that why I think live music is so special, because for me it's always been a time when I can focus on just one thing, and from that and I feel like every time I go see a gig I practice that, you know, and I think that space is so valuable for creative people, you know, because we get all these messages being like, you got to do this, you got to do that, you need to post, you need to advertise, you need to do this, but just being in a room with people, either if you're performing or listening, there's a wavelength that you're on that allows that space. Well, I find for me, I go to gigs and I sit there and listen through, and I come away with all of this inspiration because I've just everything. I've got a clear slate almost. I've allowed the music to kind of clear my head. and I find that for me is a really good strategy for, I don't know, it's not really answering your question, but I'm just rambling on about live music as I usually do. But it's that for me is something that I think is just nothing's gonna replace that for me. And I think particularly for the communities that we're in at the moment, it's such a strong power that we all get to exist with. So I think that even though there's so much to do or could be doing or to be distracted by, there's that space is still so valuable and so important.
What made you want to apply for the APRA AMCOS Professional Development Award?
I'm very grateful for the opportunity to apply, because just any kind of support like this from organizations like APRA, I mean, APRA is a very supportive organization, but having the opportunity to go, I want to learn, and this is what I want to learn, and this is why, it's such an awesome opportunity, just because it not only does it give you sort of maybe a chance that you might have access to some of this, but it's also an opportunity for you to think as an artist and go, what do I actually want to do now? Like, what is going to be most valuable to me to invest in, say, if I had some funds to? And that helps really, that always helps me reframe, okay, so what am I making? What am I doing? Where are my values? And what do I want, you know, what do I want to do next? What's going to be the next step in learning, or what's going to be the next step in developing something? And so that's what I think, for me, these kinds of processes, like applications, really help reframe that and just set you back on a bit of a clear track, I suppose. 'Cause sometimes I find as a improvising musician, I'm doing many, many huge variety of things. and I've been interested in a lot of folk music recently as well. So there's that. And I've been playing in a Guinean band and learning West African rhythms. And there's a whole sort of pool of all these things that you could possibly be doing at one moment in time. But to be able to go and zoom out a little bit and go, hang on, what do I need next. And that's what I think, like, the value, like, for me, that's what, because, you know, you don't go in going, I'm going to win this. So you go in with a, you know, an opportunity to rethink about what you could possibly do next. Yeah, which is really nice.
I think anyone that has a creative bone in their body should always be asking themselves, what do I want to do now? What do I want to do next? Because, you know, we know that time is finite, and therefore we've only got a certain amount of time to pursue our creative arts, and we want to make the most of it. And by asking that question, that is what is going to put you on the path to success.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And a lot of the things that you might not have, when you get asked these questions, like what would you do, you know, for example, the APRA award is, it's wonderful. It's $10,000 towards professional development. So you go, well, what would I put $10,000 towards professional development? Like, what is next for me? And it often you don't always, you know, need $10,000 to start off on those pathways. And just those seeds of inspiration can actually go much further as well. Yeah. So it's really such an awesome opportunity. Yeah.
You have been listening to Eastside Radio Podcast. For selections of more enjoyable content like this, visit our website, eastsidefm.org, and click on Podcast.